It's radio too. You're listening to WBCR LP Great Barrington, 97.7 FM, your community radio station. Don't touch that dial. It's Radio Two Women, and we're transporting you into your space. How do you like that? Your space. Not my space. Not anyone else's space, but your own. It's Radio Two Women. Don't touch that dial.
You are wisdom and honor, you are mother and child, you are young and you're older, you're timid and wild, your heart is a patchwork of loves lost and gained, your spirit is steady for all that remains, so love, sweet woman. Until you cry, until you see with clearer eyes the wonder that we've always seen, the beauty that you've always been. Will the seasons surround you, change and you grow, so don't you think of your body as a country at war. You are the soft green meadow, the red autumn leaves. You're the snow on the cedar and a warm summer breeze. So laugh, sweet woman, until you cry, until you see with clearer eyes the wonder that we've always seen, the beauty that you've always been.
Welcome to Radio Two Women. I'm Serene Mastriani here in the studio with Joanna Roche. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, Serene.
Welcome back to Radio Two Women. It's been a couple week hiatus. Has it been one?
Just one. I know, it feels like forever whenever we don't see each other, like every Thursday.
It really does. It feels like forever. This is such a challenging time of the year, isn't it?
I know. I was just telling Serene, for our audience, that I'm feeling very overwhelmed.
Yeah, it is a tough time of the year.
There's so much to do.
There's so much to do. There's no time to do it at all. And, you know, and then you have all these other life things that just come in the middle of it that really, you know, sometimes you feel like your kids were sick. Yeah. It's like you don't have time for that. But I think we all, in this holiday season, we had Dr. Kaboom on last week.
Right.
And he had some great ideas about, you know, just thinking about really what you have and under your kitchen cupboard that you can throw in a box and give your child for Christmas. And I said, really what they want is time with us.
Right.
I think my daughter's most looking forward to, you know, we wake up Christmas morning and we play a board game that Santa brought under the tree. And, you know, it's like really nice memory. It's just a nice, relaxing time with family, not having to rush anywhere. We go nowhere for Christmas Eve.
That's nice. Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah, we just stay home. We get into our jams. We open up all our family gifts. It's really a nice way to relax and spend time with family. So when we get troubled like this, we should just relax a little bit. But it's hard.
True. It's so hard. Well, there's so many demands on us. And we talk about this every week. It's like we just have to keep up.
Don't you think that every week it's going to get better and then it just doesn't?
I do. But I'm the eternal optimist. I really am. I'm always the glasses half full person. And I always think, oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
It is going to get better, I think. Well, yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about my challenging week. So I was in D.C., because the HIV Prevention Leadership Summit was there. And of course, it's a great meeting. It's a really hard time to have a meeting right before the holidays. Right. And everyone's busy and you can't be away for an entire week. It started on Saturday. And so you lose a weekend on top right. of everything. So as a mom, I was really struggling because Michelina's in the Christmas Carol at Berkshire Theater Festival.
Oh, she is.
She is. And I missed opening night. That's hard, it's right? Hard, you miss yes. your kids opening night. And then, you know, really thrown into work. And then yesterday, we had unexpectedly, the company that I work for had pretty significant layoffs.
Oh,
and we were at the conference. There were just a handful of us that were selected to go to the conference. Those of us do legislative work.
Right.
And so the whole team wasn't there. And it was kind of an unsettling feeling for the rest of the team that wasn't there, thinking we knew things that we didn't know.
You felt disjointed.
Yeah, the whole, it was really difficult.
You know, sorry.
And people lost their jobs at this time of year, which is really tough.
I don't know why they do that. I
really
don't
know
don't.
Either. I mean, it's almost like, this is how I feel about it. It's almost as if, have we become a nation and an employment center that really, truly forgets that we're employing people?
I don't know.
That's what I think. Like, who would do this at the end of the year right before the holidays?
Well, I was thinking that when they were thinking about not continuing the unemployment benefits.
Right, exactly. You know? The same thing.
I mean, and I know. You know, I'm not naive. I know that, you know, so if we look at the unemployment benefits as a pie of 100%, I know that probably a third of the people collecting unemployment are, you know, working the system, you know, for whatever, and there may be justifiable reasons for that to happen. They've paid in for years. I get that. But the other two thirds of those folks really need those benefits. And to think that that was going to happen to them right before Christmas, I was really struggling with that.
Exactly. Well, I'm really struggling with the people that I work with, that I've worked with for years that lost their job right before the holidays.
I know.
And I am, you know, it's like a challenging time. And it was a surreal experience because you go from not being concerned at all. And then all of a sudden you're in the midst of this. And then you start to think about how really just, it's just, it was very insensitive. I should mm-hmm. say that. Maybe not inhumane, but insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Very insensitive to people that have given a lot of their time and energy to make the company a better place. And
well, it's I hope not,
it doesn't always come down to performance. You know what I mean? Yes, it doesn't always come down to like the bottom line is performance or.
Well, I hope they got.
Yeah, they got great packages. But, you know, in the end, does it really matter? You know, the CEO is announcing what the packages were, which I felt was even worse.
Right.
You know, I mean, I felt like he should have waited. If they were that great of packages and you were going to pay someone until the end of the year anyway, then why not wait till the end of the year? Why not wait until January?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Serene and Joanna. We are in the midst of the holiday season, and we are really struggling here a little bit.
Oh, man.
As I'm sure many of you are out there in your cars.
All
this
right.
is Radio to Women every Thursday at 1:30. Rebroadcast this show Tuesdays at 8 a.m. You can always get our show on our website, radio2women.com. Who's in the studio?
Well, I'm very excited today because we have a really interesting woman. Her name is Judith Wendell, and she's a feng shui consultant. She has a company called Sacred Currents. She's based in New York City, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She's the founder of Sacred Currents, a company dedicated to creating vital and thriving environment. Judith offers her expertise to corporate and private clients alike. She is equally at home advising on large business premises or small studio apartments, working comfortably from architectural drawings or on site. Judith holds a 3-year accredited degree from the BTB Feng Shui Professional Training Program, formed at the request of Professor Lin Yun, distinguished philosopher and the foremost authority on Feng Shui. So Judith brings her lifelong interest in interior design and architecture to her work. She recognizes that beauty and order are integral to well-being. We could use that, huh,
Serene? Absolutely, yeah.
And she's available for residential, corporate, and retail consultants. So we're going to talk about our spaces and feng shui today.
Hi, Judith.
Hey, ladies. So nice to be on your show. Thank you for having me. And boy, I could really empathize with everything that you're talking about. It's a hard time for a lot of people. I get that. Wow. But, you know, life, you know, life happens.
That's right.
And that's where I feel really fortunate that I can hopefully make a big difference in people's lives, whether it's their homes or their offices, to make it that much more nurturing or healing or potentially successful for them. Because, yeah. You know, that's a situation we could control to some extent. A lot of stuff we can't control.
I think that's a great way of putting it. Like what we can control. We can control our spaces. And, you know, I mean, I don't know a lot about feng shui. I don't even really think I'm pronouncing it properly.
No, congratulations. You're one of the few.
Okay, great.
Although you did say my last name incorrectly, and I'll just correct that if you don't mind. It's Wendell, not Wendell.
But okay.
Just for the record.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, I mean, I think, you know, this weekend when I was in D.C., I had the opportunity to, you know, stay in a hotel that was very not comfortable.
Yeah,
and you don't realize like how much that whole week of space can close in on you. So let's talk a little bit about our spaces in general and how we tap into what makes us feel comfortable.
Right. Well, I think it's just simply different for everybody. That's one of the my little pet peeves about people's perception of feng shui is that there's your relationship area and your wealth area, and you plug in a fountain and boom, what's supposed to happen? I don't know. But it's really individual. And although you are absolutely correct in everything you said, and I thank you for that, I've also studied other forms of feng shui. There are many different schools, classical school, compass school, the BTB program I went through. And I'm saying that because, yes, everybody's taste is different. Everybody's budget is different. Certainly everybody's home, their floor plan is different, and so is their personal feng shui, the issues that they're dealing with, the family, you know, you ladies have children, some people don't divorce, whatever, and then your personal astrology, Chinese astrology, and other things about your birthday gives you different, like, best directions to sit in or best directions to sleep in. So there are many things to take in consideration, but generally, for, you know, given all of that, there are some general things. One is, what do you see when you walk in your door? Is it making you crazy? You know, is it a lot of shoes and boots and clothes and all of that? Already,
yes.
That's a chaotic energy that doesn't allow you to come home and feel, So that's not necessarily strictly you know, just limited to feng shui, but it is this aspect of qi or energy and what is it around you and paying attention to that.
Well, it's very interesting. I think you bring up two things. I didn't realize that it's the year of the birth. Is that correct? Or is it the actual month, or how does that?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different systems I was talking about. So it is your year, month. Full astrology is up to the hour you were born. Mm-hmm. General astrology, or your Mingua, which is your best directions, is just the year. And also knowing that this is the, quote, Chinese year, so it always goes from February 4th. Not that Chinese New Year is always on February 4th, which it is this year, but that's a generally accepted time.
What do you think about this? Like, now, see, I was born in 1968. My husband was born in 1962. And apparently, when you go to eat Chinese when you're looking at the
menu,
right?
When placemat,
yeah, the placemat.
Oh,
right.
Did it come to this already?
Well, now that you've mentioned it, because maybe this is our problem. Maybe you're going to solve my problems here.
All right.
You know, we're not supposed to be right. We're not supposed to be compatible.
Yeah, but you're doing it all right, is what you're saying. Well, wait, so was somebody born in January or beginning of February or something like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I'm sorry, you're born 68, is that what you said?
Right, I'm born in 68. My husband's born in 1962.
Okay, so you're an earth monkey.
I am an earth monkey, yes.
Yeah, and he's a water tiger.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there are worse signs. They're not, you know, they're not the most compatible, but they're not direct clashes. So,
okay, then.
You know, once again, this is not add water and mix. You know, it's there's so many other things at work. But what would you like?
Well,
to
I'm
know?
Wondering about the bed position. So, you know. Yeah, now because I'm thinking this is something we might be able to change up quickly.
I
hate my position in the bed. My husband refuses to change sides. So I'm on the left, he's on the right, we're facing a window.
I see. Well, okay, there's two things. One, it's very important to always be in what's called the command position. And that's when you're sitting at your desk or sleeping. Those are the two most important times. That means you can see the door from your bed, but you're not directly in line with it. Okay? So, in other words, if your door is at the end of the room on the left. Hopefully your bed could be sort of over to the right. So it's, you could see it in the back, on the back wall, but you're not directly in line with it. Hmm. Ideally, you don't want to have your head at a window, but if you have a solid enough headboard, that could be okay. Right? And then there is a formulation, and it's different for men and women, and you could either be part of an East House or a West House. Each person has four good directions. I don't want to get too complicated here, but they are for one's prosperity, one's harmony, one's clarity, and one's healing. And that, when you're sleeping, that means where the crown of your head is pointing. So I try very hard with my clients to have them both in one of the good directions and in command to the door. If I only have one choice because of closets and windows and all that, then I go with command to the door and do some other adjustment if they're not in a good direction. Sometimes a couple has mutually exclusive good directions, so somebody always has to have some adjustment made. These are what's called transcendental adjustments. So it's something symbolic that will adjust the energy. All right? So
what does that mean, command of the door?
That means...
Closest to the door?
No. That's sort of the, not to offend anybody here, but the old mafia thing where, you know, you have your back against a wall. Ideally, you could see who's coming in,
right,
but you're far enough away that, you know, if they're about to pull a revolver, you could duck or pull yours first. So in other words, you see the door very clearly, but you're not a target. You're not right in line with it, directly in line with it.
Mm.
So it's sort of like a back far corner is the easiest way I could verbally describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean there?
Yeah, yeah, I'm following you now. Right.
Back the other thing that's important with a couple is that they both have sort of the same point of view. In other words, sometimes somebody will look for, be out when the door's open, let's say. They could look far down a hall. The other person looks into a closet. One person can see a reflection in a mirror. Another person is just looking into the bathroom. And that could be divisive because, again, it's symbolic. Like, are you looking out into life with the same vision?
Mm-hmm.
So I try, if there's a mirror in the bedroom or if there's artwork or whatever the case is, I try to adjust it so it works for both people. Sometimes I actually have to get sort of into people's bed to try it out. But,
now,
what
if your heads are facing north?
There is no generic answer to that.
Okay.
That's a personal thing. Maybe some other, I'm not saying some other systems or beliefs or whatever say, you know, it's better to face east, west, whatever, but this is somebody's personal mingua based on their birth date. Yeah, so north may be your direction for prosperity, or maybe it's the one for illness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Even if it is the one for illness, it may not be having a big effect on you because your personal energy, chi, is strong. While somebody else who's already vulnerable will be more affected. And when that's the case, especially when a couple has mutually exclusive good directions, I always try to position the bed for the person that needs the most help, the husband who's out of the job, the woman who's pregnant, or whatever the case is, so that they have that extra strength to support them.
Interesting. This is fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Right, a lot to think about. Right, a lot to really get to be consulted on.
Okay.
And some stuff changes yearly too, not your mingua or whatever. So it's not in stone like I did the feng shui. And so, you know, because it's a life science. It literally means wind and water. So it's about health. It's what you're ingesting. Literally in your environment.
Mm.
So Judith, if someone was considering using your services, like how do you start out with this, or what would be the expectations?
Well, I ask them why they want to work with me. You know, what's at play in their life? What are their issues? People generally, everything is confidential, so I invite people to be as intimate as they feel comfortable with, whether it's their sex life and relationship or their monetary job things or, you know, other aspects of relationships or health or career or recognition. I mean, you know, some people just say, hey, I just need a fresh start, you know, like this time of year. I want to kind of start fresh.
Right. I mean, I think that that's a good place to think about. I mean, do you find a lot of people it's about really kind of cleaning, you know, clearing out, kind of clearing house? There's this whole movement about, you know, January, let's straighten it up.
Right. clear out the clutter.
Yeah, let's not walk into a house like that, because I think you're right. That is the thing that drives everybody crazy. I mean, I'm kind of a messy person, but it even drives me crazy when I walk into the house.
Oh, well, yeah. Believe me, I'm not immune to any of this stuff. Well, why I can relate to it. Well, let's put it this way. I'm not an organizer. I don't clear spaces on a physical level, but just as a rule of thumb, anywhere you have junk on the floor or an accumulation of laundry, books, papers, whatever, there's clutter. There's a energy in your life will stagnate. And depending where that is on the feng shui map, which is called the Bagua, that will indicate, okay, that's my area of finance, and you know what? Things have sort of taken a downturn. Maybe some of those poor people who were let go in your office, Serene, you know, maybe something could have been different. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to talk in generalities, and I don't like to make false promises, but, you know, I've seen it happen. Let's put it that way. But the other thing that I do is I do clean and clear on an energetic level, which is an adjunct to the feng shui. It's literally a space clearing in terms of ritual, using certain smokes, certain bells, certain flower offerings, salts, something called cinnabar, high-proof alcohol, different ways of clearing out. So these people, again, who were let go in your office, if somebody is taking over that office, I would recommend it be cleared, because it now holds the energy of somebody who's angry, probably, or sad, or whatever the case is. And when you move into that, you sort of assume it to a certain degree, because it's just, if you didn't clear the dust off, that would, you know.
Right.
So it's the same, the energetic dust. So sometimes, certainly if you're moving into a new home, but often, you know, as we were just saying, a year, 5 years, whatever it is, goes by, and we've had life changes, and we want to clear the energy. And that has nothing to do with moving the furniture or painting or feng shui adjustments. It's another aspect. It sort of goes along with it, or is maybe pre-feng shui, if you will.
I remember whenever we purchased a new home, the priest comes over and blesses the house.
That's very similar in terms of the blessing ceremony, mm-hmm. But this is...
this is clearing out kind of the cobwebs.
This is clearing out...
Virtual.
Yeah, things... yeah.
With
all due respect to the priest, this is a little even more comprehensive.
Right. Interesting. This is fascinating. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Radio 2 Women. We're talking about spaces and feng shui. We have Judith Wendell, right?
Is that? Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
Thank you.
Yeah, Wendell. The founder of Sacred Currents, a company dedicated to creating vital and thriving environments, Judith offers her expertise to corporate and private clients alike. So, Judith, we talked a little bit about my personal bedroom, which, thank you. I think I need to start thinking of things differently, because I think in 2011 I want to renovate my bedroom and make it a spa bedroom.
Ooh, great. May I ask, why does your husband not want to move the bed? That's interesting.
He doesn't want to move the sides. He doesn't want to switch the sides up.
I got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't want to switch the sides up. Oh. And, you know, we're going on 20 years. I really would like to mix it up a little bit and switch sides.
Yeah. I may need to come over and give him another point of view.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Well, you know what was interesting is when you were saying that, you know, how do you feel when you walk into your house?
Yes.
I definitely have that situation of lots of coats and shoes, you know, which makes it easier for me to get my kids out the door in the morning. But when I walk into my bedroom, I definitely feel
Oh, yeah. You do?
I do.
Yeah, I don't like my bedroom.
I love my bedroom.
Yeah, I don't like my bedroom.
It does feel very soothing. That's why I was asking about, because my husband and I, our heads face north.
I see. Well, you know,
maybe that's good for you.
Have you email me your birth dates, and I mean specific birth dates, just not just a year, and I would figure it out. And
gotcha.
Who knows? Maybe it's like your healing or harmonious direction for both of you, and, you know, it is.
That's interesting.
But there's nothing... you know, just generic about the north being good or bad or whatever.
So I'm curious about how feng shui applies to business.
Right. I was just going to say that. We talked about my room, but, you know, how could it have helped my organization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the organization or the individuals, I mean, not that it's vastly different, but what can you be more specific with the question?
I mean, I think, you know, spaces in general. I mean, when I walk into... you know, home office, or a lot of businesses, really, you can almost feel immediately just sterile, chaotic, not...
Okay, I'm going to take that one step further. Okay. I know that when I walk into a business sometimes, you almost always can feel the negative energy. If it exists.
Yeah, right. Okay, there you go.
But you rarely feel the positive. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can go into a place of business or someone's office, and you can feel neutral, right? Or you can feel welcomed, or you can feel negative energy. And I know that there are places that I go sometimes where I definitely get that negative vibe right away.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, to my just previous point, there's generally like a buildup of unresolved issues. You know, now even the people that weren't let go in the office, I mean, there's, you know, there's whether people are now feeling bad for those people or angry or worried about their own job or kind of guilty because they weren't let go. So there's this, I mean, it's so subtle, but it is just a buildup over time so that after a while it's like just kind of negative. I mean, if you're not changing it, it's just going to build up. That's a number one. And number two, very often people don't think it's particularly important. You know, they might have the nice sign or whatever else, but there's not much attention. I mean, you know, granted, I'm in Manhattan, and, you know, people, you know, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what kind of office you're talking about, but, you know, there is a sort of a... most offices you go into, people have to have some sort of lobby or face that looks at least, you know, really polished, if you will. But doesn't mean it's even good design or good feng shui. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just kind of like you walk in and you kind of come down.
Right.
And there could be a lot of reasons for that. Again, you know, what are you walking into? Do you walk into somewhat of a wall, whether it's a wall of papers, a wall of a desk, a literal wall? And, you know, very often when I get off an elevator or even walk into just a single floor office, it's very confusing. There's not good signals which way to go, right, left, you know, straight ahead. And when you have that momentary pause, confusion, already you're agitated slightly. On a subtle level, it happens quite a bit in, you know, high-rise buildings here in the city where there's no directions, no A to K over there and J to whatever over there. So you're, if I'm confused and the subtle agitation, and then the energy can't find itself to your personal apartment or business, so it's not being fed, which is it's the chi that makes things successful.
And what is the chi? Let's talk about the chi. That's your energy, right?
Well, breath of life in yoga, it's, you know, referred to as prana, energy. Yeah, it's that which imbues everything. Even an inanimate object like your desk has a certain level of chi, and certainly there's much more animated chi in a plant, an animal, and us. And so this, you know, feng shui is very much like acupuncture. As an analogy, you know, there's a point below your thumb that, you know, resonates with your lung, and there's actually a point in the home or office that resonates with your lung, which is a metal element, which also has to do with how you complete things in a timely fashion, how much joy there is in your life, your creativity, and your children. So if somebody was having trouble with a child, I might look in that area. Of course, I'd look in the child's room, see what else is going on there. When kids have trouble studying, I really make sure that their desk is in a good position or their bed is in a good position or any number of things I look for. So I really address it quite thoroughly, depending on, again, to get back to the part of the original question, I want to know what's going on. So with the business, is it that they do really well, but then their, you know, cash flow isn't good, or money comes in but it seems to go out too quickly, or they have a wonderful product but nobody knows about it, so their recognition is just not there. You know, they have great client relations but their employee relations are bad. You know, there's many different things to then look at in the environment.
So what kind of successes have you seen? Tell us some of those stories.
Okay. Well, you know, I did work with a IT company, you know, a internet company, and subsequently they went from part of a floor here in Manhattan to a full floor, and then I had the great opportunity to even design the desk for the whole place so that everything flowed really well, and it seems like their business has just increased enormously. One article that's on my website is a vegan restaurant here in New York that took over a space of, you know, the typical, we've all heard, many failed restaurant, many failed businesses in that location. So we did a very thorough space clearing. Actually, numerous times. I go back a couple of times a year just as a maintenance. And that business, I think they just hit 7 years, and they were rated number one in the Zagat restaurant guide for a vegetarian restaurant. It's really doing great. So,
So those are some, like, those are some businesses that really have invested in the idea of making sure that the energy around them is proper, right? I mean, that's interesting. I mean, that's something that I think businesses don't, we're not willing to spend the extra, you know, money on. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Radio Two Women. This is WBCRLP Great Barrington, 97.7 FM, your community radio station. You can stream online live all day long, 24/7 at berkshireradio.org. You're listening to Radio Two Women. I'm Serene Mastriani here in the studio with Joanna Roche. And it is December, and we have the opportunity today to be speaking with Judith Wendell. She's the founder of Sacred Currents, a company dedicated to creating vital and thriving environments. She offers her expertise to corporate and private clients alike. She can be found on her website, which is sacredcurrents.com. And Judith really is doing more than just
feng shui. You got it, girl.
She's, you know, doing some space clearing, and there's other things on here that is kind of interesting, which is Nine Star Chi.
Chi. I know, it looks like Chi.
And the I Ching in Chinese astrology, and studied with some of the world's renowned teachers in their field. She particularly focused on clearing and blessing rituals, which are so important for the effectiveness of any feng shui adjustments. So, Judith, this is interesting that businesses are starting to think ahead of time about, okay, I'm going to go into this space. I'm a restaurant. Restaurants have failed here on 79th and whatever, year after year. I'm going to clear the space, and I'm going to make an investment in the idea of the energy around it. Now, you created, what do you create in these spaces? You said at the IT company you actually created the desks. Tell me about that.
Well, since they, you know, were interested in hiring me also for my design skills, if you will, it's a whole floor, so it sort of goes around the elevator banks, which are in the center, and that could have been a detriment because it's a very draining energy in the center, which is considered the Tai Chi, and that which feeds the other areas of the environment. So I wanted to make sure, and also the bathrooms were there, so I wanted to make sure that it was, I could stabilize it as much as possible. Earth is a very stabilizing element, and that gets represented in certain colors and materials, so we use that in part of the design. Then, since I didn't want to see all these different angles all around, they were working with a very good contractor who could make these desktops. We shaped them somewhat kidney-shaped, so they had a certain flow, but they also, you know, worked for them that, you know, whether it was one, two, or three people were seated at each one, because that's what they needed, so that it really made the environment much more alive, not so static. And some, you know, when you were referring to, you know, you walk into some place that feels negative, it's because it's very static.
Right, right. Sterile.
It just feels, pardon me?
Sterile, too.
Sterile, and yes, very often, exactly. And, you know, and part of that, I will say, too, just it's sort of an adjunct to all of this, is the materials used. I try to use green and sustainable materials, not only because it's good for the planet, but it's good for the people living there. These sterile environments very often are hermetically sealed. They have no fresh air. There's different glues and carpets and wood that are outgassing and then making people kind of sick, and then they can't do their best job. So, you know, when a business owner is interested in paying attention to this stuff, it's ultimately going to come back to their bottom line because their people are going to be more effective and many other things. But, you know, of course, it's not always seen that way. It's not really a luxury. It's just more like a consciousness.
Right. So a consciousness. And I think we tend to be unconscious.
Yeah.
we get into these modes of just, you know, I'm just thinking, I just set my daughter's, she wanted a new bedroom for Christmas. So we had gotten her, but I don't have her feng shui in order. I should have just switched her bed, like the head of her bed. That was crazy.
So I'm wondering, Judith, if you can give us some practical tips for our audience of things they can think about in their homes or in their businesses and things that they could adjust.
Yes. So, okay, I'd be very happy to. So one, this idea, even though you need to have all that stuff at the door, make sure your door could open at least 90 degrees, a full 90 degrees, and that could be your personal office door to your front door. Because if it cannot, it's always very indicative that you're limiting your opportunities in life. Let's put it that way. All right. There's always got to be some way you can organize the coach you situation better. I mean, there's just got to be. And, you know, get everybody in line with that. Then what do you see when you first walk in? Well, it doesn't matter if it's an office or your home. Is it, are you looking down the hall into a bathroom? That's sort of a draining energy. Are you facing steps? That also has a draining effect. At least make sure the door is closed. At least make sure that, you know, now it's holiday, so you know, you might have something really festive there. But generally, make sure it's something very uplifting, because that could, even if you see it day in, day out, on a subtle level, that makes a difference. You know how on a subtle level it's like, I don't really like that, but it just stays there forever. Mm. And that is working on your energy. Okay, so that's definitely something. Let's see, what else can I say that would be sort of a bit of a one-size-fits-all so we can all enjoy it?
How about this? How about the computer? Like, we all have computers in our houses. You know, like, where should they be, and what makes the most sense with technology?
Well, when you're sitting at your computer, it's the same thing. It's those are, as I said, the two most important places to be in command to the door, your bed and your desk. So you want to, again, make sure you could see the main door. Right. If you have your back to it, see if you could prop up a little mirror or put a mirror on the wall so you could see behind you. Even if you're working at home and nobody else is there or ever going to come in, it's a psychological thing when you have your back to a door. It's like you can be surprised. And if you're working in a cubicle or in an office where there are other people, there could always be somebody just metaphorically or literally looking over your shoulder, and you want to be in command of your space. That is, you know, a sort of an A number one thing. So there is no, you know, ideal place for it. It's just that you're in command of your space. Again, you know, if we did your Mingua, we could say, hey, if you face southeast, that is your direction for prosperity. So can we situate you at your desk southeast and still have you be, you know, able to see the door or at least prop a mirror, whatever the case is. So I would also say if you want to do, you know, the Bagua or the feng shui map can be applied three-dimensionally, of course, in an environment, but also two-dimensionally on a business card, collateral, marketing materials, or your website, but also on your desk. So the right side of your desk is more associated with new projects, new beginnings. So that might be a place to put prospects, let's say business prospects, that you want to bring in. While, did I say the right side?
Yes.
Okay. It's the left side.
I was going to say, oh, my God, something I'm actually doing naturally.
If you're facing your computer.
That's so funny now.
So funny. And then on the right side is the completion, things that get done, things that are already in process and you want to see completed. So, yes, we'll just switch that.
I'm living in feng shui opposite mode, I think.
Well, I'm sometimes could be a bit dyslexic myself. Straight ahead of you on your desk, like at the, you know, across from where you're sitting, but straight ahead of you is the area that has the most to do with your recognition or reputation. So maybe you have an award, maybe you have a picture of yourself with the president of the company or somebody well known. That would be kind of nice there, or even have your business cards there. All of these things too are what's called empowered or empowered with your intention. Feng shui, even though a lot's been talked about more recent times with the power of intention. Feng Shui is very much about that. The things make a difference where they're placed, but then the intention behind them, particularly transcendental things, in other words, even just saying the left side of your desk is for new projects, new beginnings, I mean, that is, that understanding has a transcendental aspect of it. I mean, there's nothing on your desk that, you know, is physically about that. So if you empower it with your intention, that gives it, imbues it with a lot more potency.
Okay.
You know, even this little mirror I referred to be able to see behind you, I mean, you literally can, but if you say, you know, I'm going to be in command of my environment, of my business, and imbue it with that intention, that makes it that much more powerful. So to do each thing with that in mind, why am I doing it? I don't believe in just, again, generic or arbitrary fixes. They have to have meaning for you.
And, you know, the other thing that I was going to ask, and Joanna had said, you know, simple tips, but I think that sometimes we, you know, like I'm thinking about doing my bedroom bathroom over, right? I wanted to make this spa experience. I've done all sorts of research. And some of the things it sounds like I just naturally may have picked up on some feng shui. Like, for instance, I was thinking of going with earth tones and stone and rocks and, you know, because I wanted to kind of bring the outside in. But then other time, you know, in other things I'm thinking, and I wanted to do browns and more earth tone colors. But on the other hand, I mean, I think I make the assumption, oh, because I'm picking it, this is what I'm going to be happy with. And then I often find myself disappointed. So I'm really not asking a question here, I guess, but I think that my question would be, if I had a question, is when do you bring someone into this process? Because it sounds like we're not naturally oriented to know what's automatically healthy for us.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, first of all, sometimes people say to me, you know, a lot of this is common sense. And it's like, yeah, it should be. But we're pretty out of touch with, you know, ourselves or our environment.
Well, we don't trust our intuition enough.
Or we're trying to do something else.
Well, please somebody.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, or just, you know, you get caught up sometimes in right. the commercialization of things, too. It's like, well, I want this tub because it's got 24 jets instead of the 10. And
you're right.
You know, right. And then we all have limited budgets. I mean, none of us are, you know, I mean,
no,
you're right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I try to, I sort of referenced it before. Is I really like to know, well, what are we doing? Some people are just tweaking things. Or they're saying, hey, I'd like to add some color here. So what would you suggest given the feng shui and where would you put it? Other people are, as yourself, you know, maybe renovating their bedroom or whole house. And so, but so then, okay, great. And what's your budget? And let's get your taste and let's get, you know, your consideration and your husband's. But then let's look at the feng shui. You're saying stone. Stone is an earth element. Do you need earth element in that particular part of the house? Or is that just because you like it? I mean, there are five elements. One of them is water. Obviously, you can have a lot of water in the bathroom. Then there's fire, and that has to do with triangular shapes, literally things like light and candlelight and, you know, colors that are much more strong, passionate reds and purples. Earth has, you know, is all about trust and credibility. Wood element, which could be anything from things that go very much horizontally up and down to literally trees to colors of green. What is that, you know, about? And so, and how does that fit in with your particular environment? So it has to be looked at. You know, I'm not trying to sound terribly complicated. It's just that there are many things. So what works for you personally, your taste and budget, and what works for the balance of energy in that particular area of your particular home or office? You know, it's not just, it's not arbitrary. Sorry.
No, but I think that that's good advice, because I think that sometimes we think, yeah, common sense, but not really. And then
some of it is common sense, you know, yeah, and some of it is really based on looking much deeper into, like I said, a particular environment and what its purpose is and who's there.
How would you go about even finding a feng shui consultant and then picking one?
You mean other than me?
Yeah, right, other than you.
Well, there is the International Feng Shui Guild, and that website, I think, is ifsg.org, International Feng Shui Guild.org, of which you could type in a state or and look for people with different accreditation.
Now, so what accreditation should we be looking for?
Well, I mean, you want to see where first years of experience. I think so much of it has to do with years of experience. I did go through a three-year professional training. You know, I think a lot of people may only have done maybe a weekend course or read some books or a year course, and maybe it doesn't mean they're not effective, but it's what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you looking for? So I think it should be somebody you resonate with. You know, somebody you resonate with. I mean, I even don't necessarily work with everybody. Not only, you know, I might not resonate for them, or I just might say, you know what, I don't know if I could help this person.
Right.
I only want to work with people that I know I could be really effective with. So, you know, it's but, you know, many people call, and they, I'm sure they're shopping around, so maybe their consideration is a fee or whatever they like or don't like about somebody, I think in that regard. And very often I go to see people that have worked with a couple of people before, and I don't know if they're just trying everybody on the menu, or they are they actually weren't happy, or they didn't get the results that they were expecting.
Right.
You know, or, you know, some people recommend very traditional things, you know, a red curtain or lots of crystals, and I personally don't work that way because I don't, I mean, if that fits with somebody's decor and taste, great, but I have to find solutions that do work with your personal taste and decor, otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Well, I also think that feng shui sometimes is like this new term to throw around. Like, you see something, you know, somebody throws up a red picture in a room that the red doesn't really go, and it's like, oh, that's so feng shui of you.
Yeah, exactly. It's silly. It's silly,
isn't it?
It's like, you know, though, yeah, that was the problem. It just became sort of butt of jokes, or,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Judith.
Judith, tell us about some of your favorite projects. I mean, you've worked with a lot of different kinds of businesses and people, and so what were a couple of your favorites?
Well, I did work with an architect on a very big spa, and it was just extremely good, fun, and stimulating for me to work with another professional on that level and be able to look at it from such a different point of view that inspired him. So I love working on big projects like that. And by the same token, I totally get thrilled when sometimes I make small adjustments in somebody's studio apartment. I mean, literally move the couch a little bit that way and the chair. So it's just, and they go, oh, my God, that made such a difference. And it literally is inches, but it literally opened up space. I'm thrilled when somebody calls me and said they actually got pregnant. Somebody, a stay-at-home mom who wanted to get back into the workforce, couldn't find anything, and then she got a job, and she was the same woman whose boy had a lot of really bad, I'd hate using bad, good words, but he got a lot of problems, let's just put it that way. He was born with a lot of problems, and trying very hard to get him the right kind of help and couldn't, and then very soon after, she said, he got the help he needed. So it's not so much the project, it's just that I feel that it's really made a difference in somebody's life. Really very satisfying.
Finding that piece of this very rewarding for you.
It really is.
That's great.
It really, really is. It doesn't matter to me if it's a big job. I mean, I like, you know,
of course,
to be stimulated by, like I said, you know, sinking my teeth in, but when something's really made a difference, wow, there's nothing better than that. That's how I feel. And, you know, I feel very fortunate that has happened often. Just some people are obviously going through more difficult things than others. And
well,
also
and
the
I
space
think that,
clearing. I have to say, yeah. The space clearing work is very intimate. What happens is that people get to know their environment in a way they never did before, because nobody's ever done this in their home generally before. So even if they've been living there for a long time, and it's like sort of going through this little birthing with them, and I love that. It's a lot of hard work, actually. It's sort of labor intensive, but it's great. It's really great.
I mean, I can appreciate that, because I'm probably like borderline a hoarder, and the idea of having to throw away some of this stuff that I've saved really makes me anxious, even though I know I should get rid of some of it.
Yeah, well, here's the rule of thumb, and it comes from a, his name was, I just forgot his first name, Morris is his last name. He was a designer from the 1800s. I guess it's William Morris. And he said, have nothing in your homes that you don't believe to be beautiful or know to be useful. So believe to be beautiful, like you do really love it. It's not because somebody gave it to you. It's nice. It just sort of fills that space. You know, you really do. And you know to be useful means you've kind of used it and will use it again within 6 months to a year. Otherwise, it's just storage. And, you know, it's just taking up space. It's not useful. It's just taking up space, because you might need it sometime, or somebody might. You know, and we're all guilty of that, but...
Yeah, and I also tend to form, like, emotional attachments to things.
Well, yeah, you think you can't.
Somebody gave this to me, or it represents some time in my life that was important or meaningful, and those things are hard to part with, even if they're sort of silly little items.
Yeah, well...
Okay, Judith, I'm getting the sense that I should really rethink that.
Well, you know what? I think we could all have some. But, you know, the problem is that we usually have too many, because there's that, and then there's that. Oh, but then there's that. And then what happens is we're sort of like prisoner of our own environment. You think like, oh, my God, I can never move, or, my God, I don't even want to clean around that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I do.
And then it multiplies, too, because there's more people in the house that start to...
You have more kids, and then you have they have their stuff, and it just goes on and on and on.
Right, and it's also symptomatic of a larger issue, which is that sometimes it's hard to let go of things, whether they're real or virtual.
Yeah, and you think, what if, you know, we hear about it all the time, there's an earthquake, there's a fire, there's a this, there's a that. How much of it would, you know, be so important? Very little, really. You have your life, you have your family.
Right.
So it's like, really and truly, or the other thing I like to think of, like I went shopping, I bought two new pair of pants, and I said that I knew I had a lot of pants in my, you know, closet that either don't fit or I don't really like that much, and I'm going to only wear probably these two a lot. I don't like actually having that much clothes. So I gave away six pair, and you know what? I'm just thinking somebody else could enjoy that. You know, or needs that. Well, I'm just keeping them because, well, they're good, you know.
Right. And I also do think there's nothing that feels better than getting to that point where you are clearing out.
Yes.
I mean, I just recently did my closet over. That was my birthday present to myself. And I took out, oh my goodness, like 12, 15 bags of clothes, you know, brought them over here to the hospital place that does a consign, you know, they raise money for the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But I like sometimes, this sounds so awful, and I hope my husband's not listening, because he thinks I'm a really messy person, but I love at night to just look into my closet and see it all neat.
I hear you.
I don't think you're alone in that, sir.
It's so organized. Yes. It's so beautiful.
I hear you, but that is the exact, you know, even though feng shui, knowing the way I do it, like I said, I don't clean out people's stuff, but that is the effect, that afterwards it's like, wow, it feels really good in here. That is the experience people have. And sometimes it's maybe getting rid of something, and it may be adjusting it. Maybe, you know, we're maybe weeding through, or maybe we're just moving it around. That is definitely the effect. And you're right, there's nothing like it, because it's just like you have a certain freedom. It's just a, wow, okay.
Absolutely. It's okay. I think we should all make an investment in thinking more feng shui. Thank you very much to Judith for spending an hour here on Radio 2 Women. It always goes too fast for us.
Oh, I hope you have me back. This is a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. I hope to have you back also. Judith Wendell is the founder of Sacred Currents, a company dedicated to creating vital and thriving environments. You can find her and her website at sacredcurrents.com. That's sacredcurrents.com. Judith holds a 3-year accredited degree from BTB Feng Shui Professional Training Program, formed at the request of Professor Lin Young, distinguished philosopher and foremost authority on feng shui. Thank you again, and happy holidays to you. And here's to hoping we'll all be a little bit more feng shui
in 2011.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much for an hour on Radio 2 Women. This is Radio 2 Women. You can hear, if you missed this show and you missed learning more about feng shui and you want to learn more, you can go on to our website at radio2women.com. You're listening to Radio 2 Women. We're here every Thursday at 1:30. Rebroadcast this show Tuesdays at 8 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 8 a.m. And we're going to do some public service announcements. The first is Berkshire Grown Holiday Farmers Market in Great Barrington. Given the success of last year's holiday markets, Berkshire Grown will host markets in North County, Williamstown, and South County, Great Barrington. And they are on December 18th, the Saturday before Christmas. And based on feedback received last year, they will feature several farmers who raise livestock for meat production. Many vendors will be offering items only available this time of year, so we can put them. It's kind of like our own table to farm offering, and that is Saturday, December 18th. For more information, you can go to their website, which is berkshiregrown.org. Call them at 528-0041.
Well, most importantly, we invite everyone to go see A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens at the Berkshire Theater Festival from between December 11th and the 30th. You can get more information at berkshiretheater.org, and Serene's daughter, Michalina, is in the production.
I know.
Which
Come on, who doesn't want to, who doesn't want to go see my little angel on stage?
So exciting. I'm sure she's wonderful. And I will do a shout out also to Amy Kane, who is a very good friend of my niece, who is also in this production.
Yeah, it's a great... It actually is really, it's a super, super fun production. It's a great way to bring the holidays back into our lives. Because like, we all forget a little bit about, we all have a little Scrooge in us, I think.
We all do.
And we all forget that. And it's nice to remember what the holidays really represent.
It's such a classic story.
It is. It is. It's a nice way to think about, what could I do? What could I do better today?
Right.
The Mahewi presents It's a Wonderful Life. The classic tale is coming to the Mahewi Monday, December 20th at 7 p.m. For more information, you can call the box office at 528-0100. Green drinks are back. Green drinks are back. And they are on Tuesday, December 21st at 5:15 at Dottie's Coffee Lounge, 444 North Street in Pittsfield. You can talk about environmental issues that you're interested in, hear about what others are doing to save the world. For more information, you can call 413-445-4556. And I'm going to give a shout out to our very own radio station. It is the holidays. And this is our community radio stations, WBCR LP Great Barrington, 97.7 FM. You can donate online and make our holidays bright and cheery by going right online to berkshireradio.org. That's berkshireradio.org. And put a little something in our stocking to keep the lights on here at WBCR. And if you can't do that, you can volunteer or you can post your own public service announcement on our blog, berkshireradio.org, and go to our blog, which is public service announcements.
Okay, next week.
Next week.
I want to do a plug.
Yeah.
Next week we have Jerry Posner in the studio, and he's going to be talking about two really important things. One of them he calls the butterfly effect.
Oh, right.
All right. And the other
That's like giving, right? Isn't that like about like spreading? What is it? What is the
butterfly effect? Is how you can improve your own life, really. Mm. And he's a really very clever guy and a great speaker. And he's also going to be helping us work on our New Year's resolutions.
Oh, great idea. Okay. So that is next Thursday in the studio. To all of the people that are listening to Radio 2 Women, go onto our website, radio2women.com, and you can search and get any information that you want. We try to give women voice, but most of all, we want to extend you all a happy holidays through this season of craziness. We started off, we were all crazy, rushing, and now we're relaxing again.
Judith gave us some good ideas.
The feng shui. I think she did.
She did.
Let's all, we should all relax a little bit.
Serene, have a great week.
You have a great week too. See you next week in the studio. It's Radio 2 Women. Stick with us because we have a half an hour kind of what we call simulated music, but then it's our favorite Beauty and the Beat. Don't miss 1 minute of it. It's Radio 2 Women.